Greetings from you, from our God and Savior from above, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. You know, whenever we see somebody micromanaging their life down to the smallest detail, it's pretty easy for us to kind of sit back and maybe laugh or even scorn them and say, you know, that person is a control freak. But in reality, we all like the security of being in control. And we don't like being out of control. I think this became clearest for me when I was trying to teach my children how to drive. And I sat on that passenger side, terrified, and pumping that imaginary brake and looking for that imaginary steering wheel so that I could turn the car in the direction that I thought it should be turned. Others of you know what it's like when you go to a hospital, and even though you have the utmost confidence in your surgeon, still the thought of passively giving your life over into another person's hands is frightening. I remember back when I was dating, and I think one of the things that is the most frightening thing in the world in adolescence is to ask a girl out on a date. Because after you've posed the question, you feel totally helpless until she makes her decision whether to accept your invitation or it feels like the other is to reject you completely. And I guess that's why, thankfully, we can rejoice that there are at least some things within our control. You know, there are things that we do feel like we have some control over. Many of us have eaten a little too much over the holidays, and we've probably let the exercise program slide. And now we're getting back into the routine. Maybe we drop a few pounds. Maybe we're getting back into our exercise program, and it feels like at least it gives us some control over our health. On another note, some of us, no matter how chaotic life may be outside of our home, if we can keep our home clean and tidy, at least it gives us that feeling that we have some control over our environment. And then finally, when we save a little money back and we invest that money, it gives us a feeling that somehow we have at least some control over our future. The reason we do that is because it is so frightening for us to feel like we're losing control. You know, I work with a lot of older people who, in their golden years, they've always been independent. They've always been able to come and go as they please and be autonomous in their lives. And all of a sudden, a health issue arises. And now, for the first time in their life, they're beholden to others for food or for housing or for a ride to the doctor. And that's a frightening thing. I also thought about those people this summer out in California that lost their homes through a natural catastrophe of a wildfire. And I also thought about those people in Hurricane Katrina. You know, I used to live down in New Orleans, and the very first night on Fox News, my daughter called me from Maryland, and she said, "Dad, look at the TV." And I looked, and there was the house we had lived in underwater up to the roof line, and I thought to myself how utterly hopeless that must have felt for those people as they watched their life swept away by those waters. And finally, our life can be going so smooth on all levels, and we can think that everything is under control, and then all of a sudden, without warning, a loved one is taken from us. And again, we have that horrible feeling in the pit of our stomach, that frightening feeling that we are out of control. But you know, it's even worse than that. It's even worse than just losing control. Because there are actually things out there that control us. There are all kinds of harmful obsessions and addictions in today's world that do great harm to us and to others. I think most of us could say that we've witnessed this. We've seen how drug use and alcoholism and gambling can wreck relationships and ruin lives. My own best friend in high school, I observed this firsthand when I saw his father's gambling debts take away their home. There are other problems of obsession and addiction. There is a new hidden obsession that is growing among the middle class, where people are viewing pornography in the privacy of their homes on the internet, and they're getting caught up in all kinds of sexual traps and perversions. Even the pursuit of pleasure itself in our culture has become something of an addiction. And really, addictions don't spare anybody, because whether you're some kind of lazy couch potato or whether you're some kind of overachieving workaholic, no matter where you are, anything in your life that is taken to excess, whatever controls your thoughts, whatever it is that you obsess on, whatever it is that you begin to rely on more than you rely on God, is sin in your life. You know, many of us in this modern world don't recognize sin any longer because, frankly, things aren't labeled as sin anymore. But we do recognize the consequences and the results of sin. Dysfunction within your relationships and within families is the consequence of sin. This generation suffers from more fears and anxieties and phobias, maybe than any generation before it. That too is a consequence of sin. And the Bible says that the greatest fear, the fear that hangs over our heads throughout our entire lifetimes, is the fear of death. Because whether we know it or not, Satan keeps us in bondage to that fear throughout our lifetimes. But there's something even worse. Worse than all of that, at least in God's mind, is the spiritual pride that so often controls our thinking. We are enslaved somehow to this idea that we must somehow, by our works, gain God's acceptance. By our efforts, gain heaven. And we Christians even struggle with this. We lapse back under the law, even though we know grace. We know that we're saved by grace without our works, and yet so often it is so easy to lapse back under that other kind of thinking. In fact, in this way, good works, even though good works are good, sometimes they begin to become detrimental to faith when we put our trust in them. So I guess my question at this point is, where does this leave us? Can we conquer our addictive behaviors on our own? And what if we can? What does that prove? What does it prove if you can gain control over a certain outward behavior or vice? What may happen is it may just create more spiritual pride. It may convince you that you are in control so that you do not let God be in control. Because it's true that you and I can relieve the symptoms of sin, at least for a while, but we cannot cure that disease of sin, for it always remains. As sinners, controlled by sin, we all still fall short of the commandments. We will all struggle with sin throughout our lifetimes, and as a result of sin, we will all die. And so our lives are out of control, and we are hopelessly enslaved to these things. But brothers and sisters in Christ, I have good news of great joy for you. For a Savior has been born to you. That message, first spoken by the Christian Christmas angels, was not just for poor shepherds. But the Christmas message is good news for you. That God sent forth His Son in the fullness of time, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those of us who were condemned by that law. God sent forth His Son to destroy those sins that control our lives. God sent forth His Son to do for us what you and I could never have done for ourselves. God sent forth His Son to conquer those things that would otherwise have consumed us and controlled us and destroyed us. You know, the irony of all of this is that Jesus was never more in control than when He appeared out of control. Jesus was never wiser than when He was that baby asleep on the hay. He looked so dependent, so helpless, so vulnerable, and yet He was the Savior of the world. And God was never stronger than when He was nailed to that cross. When His enemies mocked Him, they mocked Him because He looked weak. He looked passive. He looked like the victim. But Jesus freely gave up His life to redeem you from sin. And God's love has never been more evident than in the living and the dying and the rising of Jesus Christ. My friends, for those of you who feel out of control in your lives, who feel like life has just gotten away from you, the good news is that now your Jesus is in control. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Him after the resurrection and before the ascension, He tells us that. And He uses all of that power for you and for your salvation. All of our enemies have been crushed under His feet. And most importantly, all who rely on Jesus have the love of the Father. We are secure in our relationship with God. And more than this, Jesus didn't only do this, but He put His Spirit into our hearts. Jesus not only died for us, but it is His Spirit sent from heaven that also works forgiveness and faith in us. We want Christ's Spirit to control our hearts, because when He controls our hearts, we have the absolute certainty that we are loved by God because of what Christ did in our place. We have the ability to call upon God as Abba, our dear Father in heaven, with a childlike confidence that God loves us. And He changes our status so that we are no longer slaves under the law, but we are sons based on the gospel, and we stand to inherit everything that God possesses. My friends in Christ, think about this. Because of what Jesus has done for you. You are no longer a slave, nor need you be a slave to your sins and evil desires. But you are forgiven children of the Heavenly Father. You are not under the law, but under grace. And you need no longer be controlled by fear of the unknown, because what we are told is that our future is secure in Christ. And so, at least in spiritual matters, we cannot afford to be control freaks. Instead, we relinquish control. We rejoice that God, our Savior, is in control. Because, frankly, God does not owe us heaven, nor can we take it by force. But the gospel says it is God's goodwill to give you the kingdom. And that's why he gave us his son. Because whenever we believe the gift, we receive the gift. And the gift is eternal life. I'm not going to fool you. Our life and our possessions will soon fade away. We will eventually lose things like goods, fame, child, and spouse. And it's those losses that make us feel so vulnerable and so out of control. But it's at that very moment that we must realize that no, we have an eternal inheritance that is ours forever and will never pass away. For there is no loss that you can experience in life that will separate you from God's love for you in Christ. Think of it like this: because of what Christ has done for you, because Christ controls everything, your eternal life is safe and secure, and so are you. For what we learn today is God sent his Son to redeem us by his blood. God sent his Spirit to cause us to believe. And God himself promises to keep us in the faith. And my friends, all this will happen. Why? Because God is in control. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your mind and keep you in faith until life everlasting. Amen.